In Ephesians again this morning, Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 24 will be our key text for this morning. We'll read all of 22 through 33 for setting and context, but those three verses will be our focus. They are found on page 978 in the Bibles that are there where you are seated, so please feel free and use those if you don't have your own copy of the Scriptures this morning. And as we say each week, because we really do mean it, if you don't have a Bible that's your own, stop by our connection desk before you leave. We'd love to bless you with a copy of God's Word. Last week, we looked at the verses immediately following this set of verses that we'll look at today. We looked at verses 25 through 30, and we saw what the Lord has to say about the specific roles and responsibilities that He has seen fit to give to men and to husbands within the marriage relationship and within the home. Namely, that they would take primary leadership in some specific areas. Not exclusive leadership, not dictatorial leadership, not autocratic leadership, but primary leadership in these areas. Leading through consistent initiative, leading through caring provision, and leading through courageous protection. That God has called us as men to initiate, to provide, and to protect within the context of the home. And He calls us to do that because that's exactly what Christ, our Savior, has done for His bride, the church. He consistently initiates the relationship with His people. He is always providing for His bride in a caring, compassionate way. And He is constantly interceding for and courageously protecting those who are His own. He does that now, and He will do it, and He will preserve us for all of eternity. So just as Jesus loves His bride, the church, so too, husbands within the home, men within the marriage relationship are called to take their cues from Christ. We look to Jesus as a Savior for our example. And men, let me just remind you again, lest we ever forget, this is a high and this is a sober calling. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is not a flippant responsibility. This is impossible to do, and to do well, and to do faithfully, and consistently, and courageously, apart from the indwelling power of the Spirit of God. It is a huge responsibility to lead a home and to love a godly woman. So, that's just a little bit of review from last week. Today, we want to transition, and in verses 22 through 24, look at the specific roles and responsibilities that God has seen fit to grant and to bless women and wives with within the home and within the marriage relationship. And just as the husbands take their cues from Christ, wives are to take their cues from the church. And so this, too, is a high and holy calling and responsibility. As the church is to respond to and honor and affirm the leadership of Christ, this is to be the blueprint for a wife within the home. She is to respond to and affirm and respect and honor the leadership that God has called the husband to exhibit and show within the marriage relationship. Scripture calls this honoring, affirming, respecting response. Scripture calls this submission. Now, as an aside, as we talk about this issue, this topic and subject of submission on the part of wives within the marriage relationships, this is a good object lesson for us as a church. This is a good example for why, as a church, we usually preach expositionally through the Word of God. By that, I mean taking a book of the Bible and working through it like in Ephesians, and just going through it systematically and deliberately, passage by passage, saying, Lord, what have you said to us? It forces us to say, God, what have you spoken to us? What does your word actually say? Because I hope we would all agree, we really do want to hear not just pieces or portions of God's word. We want to hear all of God's word. We want the whole counsel of what God has said to us as His people. Not just the parts that are easy to understand, not just the parts that are convenient to hear and digest, but also the parts that are hard. also the parts that are difficult to grasp and difficult to live out. And so I hope we would agree, we actually believe these are the words of God. All right, and that God has spoken them in millennia gone by, and he has preserved them down through the ages, and he has seen fit to grant us the grace of having them in our hands, before our eyes, in a way that we can understand, in a language we can read. And he has given us eyes that are open and hearts that are soft to receive his truth. These are words of life to our hearts, and we need them. And we need all of them. And so when you preach through books of the Bible, in a way it forces our hand and it forces us to examine hard passages and difficult concepts that maybe otherwise we might be tempted and prone to overlook or brush aside or avoid. And so let me just confess to you as my church family, as your brother in Christ, preaching through Ephesians in the way that we're doing this forces my hand. So I knew 14 months ago as we started this book that we would come to this day when I, as a young man and as a husband, would stand before a room full of much older and wiser couples in this church and much older and wiser women in my life, and I would have to lay out what God has said about submission in the marriage relationship. And it was not something 14 months ago or even this last week that I said, yay, that's going to be great. It can be a little intimidating to do this. And yet everybody knows that this set of verses is here. Everybody knows that it's coming. And so I can't very well skip over it, nor do I want to, nor would it be wise or helpful for our hearts. And most of all, nor would it be honoring to the God who has given us the whole counsel of his word. So maybe you've seen this statement before on a t-shirt or on a bumper sticker. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Sounds so biblical, right? Sounds so wonderful. Two-thirds of it is really good. That middle part there is really not essential, is it? It doesn't settle it that we believe it. It settles it that God has said it. And I hope that pushes back a little bit on all of our hearts, certainly mine included, that we are not an essential component in the equation of God's truth. It's true whether we believe it or not. It's true whether we ever hear it or not. It's true whether we read it or not. It's true whether we like it or not. And so I say that not to be heavy-handed, but just to set the stage that God has spoken. And may we not only desire that, but may we read it, and may he give us soft, supple hearts to understand that, and may we say, God, we love your truth. Even the hard parts. I hope we approach it in that way this morning, saying, God, this is good. This is good, even if it's difficult at times. Now, as a small word of aside, before we dive into this hard text, just a funny story over the previous weeks. I had a good friend, a woman in this church, here at KBC, who recently, as a joke, handed me some heckle cards that she said she was having ready for this set of sermons. So one of them says boo, all right, and then this one says hiss, and then my favorite one was this one. It says baloney. And so there might be times in the course of this sermon today, whether you're a man or a woman, that you are tempted. I'll speak to both genders again this morning. You're tempted to think these things. Just remember, we serve an all-knowing, sovereign God. And whether you say it or not, he knows what's going on in your mind. So with that in mind, brothers and sisters, let's stand together and let's read verses 22 through 33 of Ephesians chapter 5. And Ryan, would you advance these slides as I get to the end of each one, please? Paul, speaking the good and gracious and kind words from the heart of God, says this: Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Father, thank you. And we mean that when we say it. Thank you for your truth. And I pray that we would have thankful hearts as we open your word and examine it this morning. Give us great joy in the scripture that you have passed down to our hearts. May we see it as a good gift, and may we see your plan for marriage, even though it's hard sometimes, and it takes submission and humility and brokenness and sacrifice and servant hearts. Lord, may we see it as the best plan and model for marriage, far better than any human concoction that we can come up with. And Lord, may we see that in marriage we are ultimately pointing to the main event, which is Jesus and the church. Help us to take and understand rightly the big picture perspective here. Father, please give me grace and wisdom and boldness and discernment and humility and tact and all of the many things that I'm not good at that I so desperately need to present this to your people. May Christ be exalted. May your people be encouraged. May the gospel go forth. May the church be sanctified. May the lost be saved. May you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, church. So there are the three verses up there on the screen that we'll be focusing on today, Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. The structure of this passage is fairly straightforward. The ideas presented may be hot-button issues for many, but the way in which God has seen fit to lay them out through the heart and the pen of Paul is actually very clear. We'll see that Paul issues in verse 22 a call, a clear call to submission. We'll talk about that. In verse 23, he gives us a model for what this submission and headship responsibility and calling ought to look like within the Christian marriage. And then, number three, he will describe the scope of this submission and this headship. So, a call, a model, and then the scope to which this call and model ought to be applied within the home. So, let's read this one more time, hear those things. Call, model, scope, and then we'll work through these sequentially. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. There's the call. Here comes the model. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. And then here's the scope. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Let's work through these one by one. The call to submission. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, just using that word, submit or submission, may cause some of you to want to raise some of those heckle cards that I showed earlier. I get that. That's a common response in our culture, in our day and time. Largely, in my assessment, unfortunately, those words, submit, submission, have become loaded vocabulary in our day and time. Submission is usually, and I believe incorrectly, tied to some negative picture of subservience or oppression or blind following. But we need to understand not what we think, but what God's word has said. And that's not how God uses this term when he says there in verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. That word in the Greek literally means to arrange under. Paul draws upon this idea in verse 21, and he says, wives, you are to arrange yourself underneath the leadership of your husband. It is a picture that Paul will often paint in the New Testament, and we'll see elsewhere this morning, where there is a God-given authority structure, just like we would see in government, just like we would see in the workplace, just like we would see in the church. There is a God-given authority structure that God has seen fit in his wisdom and his kindness to put in place within the home as well. And a wife is called to honor and to affirm that structure out of honor for her husband, but more than that, out of respect and honor for her God. And so Paul calls wives to joyfully arrange themselves within that model that God has put in place. And so, church, this is such a critical starting point for us as we work through this topic this morning, as we think about it, leaving this place today. There has to be an understanding of what we have repeatedly said in previous weeks, and I will continue to say as long as we deal with this topic, that men and women have been given by God the same identical, equal, intrinsic value as image bearers. Equal in value and in worth. But then also they have been given by God very different roles to play within the family structure. And these are not competing ideas. Same value, not the same roles. Those are not opposite statements. Our culture at large would say those are opposite statements. They're not. You can have equal value. You can have identical worth, and you can be called to different roles. If we are to be biblical, if we are to think biblically about this topic, we must hold both of those together. And we must see same value, different roles, not only as reality, but as a good gift from the Father. He didn't make a mistake when he did that. Just as within the Trinity, same value, Father, Son, and Spirit, different roles, and that is not a mistake either. Notice, though, that Paul takes this call for submission and he ties it directly to the wife's relationship with who? Not just her husband, but with the Lord. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So certainly a wife is honoring and respecting her husband as she follows and affirms his leadership within the home. But on a deeper level, a wife is honoring and respecting her God as she honors and affirms the structure that the Creator God of the universe has put in place. Because God is the one who designed this. This is not some man-made, socially fabricated concept. He has put this structure and plan in place. And so for a wife not to arrange herself under the leadership of her husband, for her to ignore or to dishonor that structure, is for her to ignore and dishonor her God who has put that structure in place. So I want to start with that. I want to lead with that. As hard as it is, it's that significant. This call to submission matters that much. It must be biblically, not just culturally rooted. It ties back to our relationship with the God who put these things in place. I think Paul is making that point here, the call to submission. Next, in verse 23, we see Paul put forth a model for this submission and then headship relationship. He'll use this kind of terminology. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So we are reminded once again, as we have been in passages in the past and weeks gone by, that this picture of the husband-wife interaction is not supposed to be the main event. It is an opening act that is to point our attention and our affection toward the main attraction. So the husband-wife relationship in a human marital sense is to represent and show forth the glorious eternal relationship between Christ and the church. So Jesus makes it clear, we will not be married when we get to heaven, all right? Marriage is an earthly reality, temporary, meant to show forth an eternal heavenly reality. And so he's calling upon us to see that significance here. And so husbands look to Jesus as their example for loving, sacrificial, lay down your life for your bride leadership. And wives look to the church for their model of joyful, glad-hearted submission. And so Paul is drawing that line of connection again for us in this passage. Just as Jesus is the head of the church, and thus he is called to lead the church. And just as the church responds to and affirms and honors his leadership because he is the head, that is the model that we see in the home. So read it again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Again, you see the parallels that Paul sets up and then draws upon here in this passage. Now, as we try to unpack this idea of submission and headship, so not terms that we are prone to use or maybe even lines that we're prone to think along in our day and time, but as we try to understand this concept, here's another example of this same truth being put forth in the New Testament in the writings of Paul. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. So you see it there again. God takes this issue of headship and submission very seriously. He takes seriously the idea of having structures of authority in place. And here's how, in a grand scheme, God has laid this out. You have God the Father, who is the spring and the source and the genesis of all authority. You have God the Son, who is equal to the Father in worth, but has been given a different role within the Holy Trinity. And so, it says, God the Father is the head of Christ the Son. And then it says that Christ is the head of every husband, that a husband is called to be the head of his wife. So God the Father is the head of all things, even of Christ the Son. Now, that may sound odd. Again, let me draw you back to same value, different roles. It's where we get this model. This is not, again, something that's just inherent upon human relationships. We see this idea of same value, different roles, even present within the Trinity. That's where it comes from. This means that God is the source of all authority in heaven and on earth. And thus, Christ the Son honors and affirms the leadership of the Father. How? By following and submitting to him and his plan. You see that in the garden. Not my will be done, but yours. In a similar way, Christ is called to be the head of every husband. And thus, every husband honors and affirms the leadership of the Son by following and submitting to him. And by extension, a man who properly submits to the Son is properly submitting to and honoring the Father who put the Son in place over him. Are you following with me how this works? If a man refuses to submit to the Son, if a husband refuses to submit to Jesus, then he cannot rightly say he is submitting to the Father, because the Father is the one who put the Son in place. All right, so you've heard of trickle-down economics. This is trickle-up authority. It's connected. And so we are not only looking to the authorities that God has put immediately over us, but in a very real sense, we are looking through those authorities to God the Father, who is the wellspring and the source of all authority in heaven and on earth. And so this line of logic continues for Paul. And he says regarding wives, the head of a wife is her husband. So a key question I think we ought to ask in response to this text is this: how is a wife called ultimately to submit to the Creator God of the universe? There are many ways, for sure. One way, specifically, is through honoring and affirming, and as Paul would say, arranging herself within the leadership structure that God the Father has put in place, with all of the layers that he has seen fit to put there, which means gladly following the leadership of Jesus, but also gladly following the leadership of her husband. So, when Paul says in Ephesians 5, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior, this is what he's getting at, this big picture perspective of the authority chain that God has instituted. To be given the calling and responsibility of spiritual headship means to be held accountable by God to lovingly lead and provide for and protect those under your care. So that's what husbands have been called to do in this submission headship paradigm. They, We have been called, and we will be held accountable, I believe, to lovingly lead, provide for, and protect those that are under our care, namely our wives and our children. Christ does this perfectly, by the way, men. We didn't hit on this much last week. We will in the weeks ahead. But just put yourself up against this standard and this model of Jesus. Christ is the perfect model of spiritual headship. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's spiritual headship. That's humble, bold, caring, consistent, courageous leadership for the good of another and at great cost and sacrifice to yourself. Men, that's our model. Christ does it flawlessly. We can look to him every second of every day, every breath we have, and he will not fail us in the example of spiritual headship that he's given us. In like manner, to be given the calling and responsibility of submitting to that form of spiritual headship means to be held accountable to gladly and freely follow and support that leadership, knowing that it is a good gift ultimately from God. So I think definitions are helpful. They're clarifying. Here's how I would define biblical headship and biblical submission. I hope this is helpful to you. I can email these to you if you like, or I would encourage you just to write them down. Biblical headship is this: the divine calling of a husband to take not exclusive, but primary leadership in the home for Christ-like leadership through initiative, protection, and provision. That's the calling that has been placed on husbands. In like and complementary and harmonizing manner, biblical submission is this: the divine calling. Notice both are callings. One is not a blessing and the other a punishment. Both are callings. Both are roles, parts that are called to be played. The divine calling for the wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. And can I just say, in a transparent moment with my wife sitting right there, that when my wife affirms the leadership that I'm trying to exhibit, my heart explodes with joy. And I want to lead so much better. When she encourages me, as she often does, when she affirms me, when she supports me, it makes me, as cliche as it sounds, it makes me want to be a better man for her and for my kids and for my God. And so that is one of the roles that you as women, only you can do and only you can give to this marriage relationship, is to encourage those men in your life. And I would raise my hand, who are often weak-willed and tend toward cowardice and self-doubting, and we need to be encouraged. And to hear that from the wives that God has blessed us with is of great joy and a huge source of strengthening in our hearts. So you see a clear call to submission, and then you see a very clear model of what this submission and this headship is to look like. And then thirdly and lastly, we see the scope to which the submission and headship model is to be carried out. Once again, Paul will draw our attention to the Christ-church relationship. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And so, again, I hope when you read Scripture that you ask questions. I would ask this question in response to this text: is there any reasonable portion of life where the church would not be expected to honor and affirm and submit to the leadership of Jesus? Is there any conceivable time when the church could rightly remove herself from underneath the caring leadership of Jesus and not submit to him, and it would be for her blessing? Is there any time that you can conceive of? And the obvious answer to that rhetorical question is no. There's no time that it would be right or good or helpful for the church to remove herself from the God-given authority structure that he has put in place. If Christ is our head, if we are his body, then to sever that oneness in any way would be hurtful and harmful in infinite ways. So with that primary picture of Christ and the church in mind, hear this again as Paul once more reminds us of this line of connection between the earthly picture of a husband and wife in marriage and the eternal picture of Christ and the church. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. The church submits to Christ in everything. So let's take that same question, repackage it just a little bit. Is there an area of life then where a wife is supposed to remove herself and rearrange herself out from underneath the God-given authority structure that he has put in place? Namely, the leadership of her husband. Is there any time? The answer is no, there's not. Now, admittedly, that's a hard verse. That's a tough passage. But if we are following the eternal Christ and church pattern that Paul has labored to remind us of over and over again, that we see here in Ephesians, but we see also in other places throughout the scriptures, if we are looking to that pattern that has been established, then the truth is clear. Submission is not conditional on a case-by-case basis. Instead, submission is a constant calling that God has placed within the marriage relationship. And he has, and I don't use this word flippantly, he has blessed the wife with. Now, as deep breaths are taken, as blood pressures rise, let me point this out. This calling goes in both directions. There's submission and there is headship. If the wife has been called to faithfully follow and honor and affirm the husband's leadership consistently, then that also implies that the husband has been called to consistently lead through faithful initiative, provision, and protection. Neither party gets an out. We've both been called to dance our part as long as we are married here on earth. We've both been called to play the role that God has seen fit in his wisdom to give us. And that means, church, men and women alike, you've been called to dance your part even if your partner doesn't dance well. And so it is likely, it is probable this morning in this room that there would be women who would rightly say, my husband is not leading well. If that husband is in here and you know that your wife is thinking that right now, you ought to repent before your God and before your wife this afternoon. That ought to be your action point. If you know you're not leading well, that it burdens your wife, you ought to do something about it. Play the man. Don't act like a boy who can shave. Grow up. Take the lead. Love and care and provide and protect well. And there may be women in this room who are saying, my husband isn't leading well. Maybe you would even say, my husband isn't even a follower of Christ. How am I supposed to honor and respect him when his actions are not honorable or respectful? And this is a legitimate question. And I don't treat this lightly in any way. And yet Scripture actually answers that question for us. Listen to what Peter will say in 1 Peter chapter 3. And let me just note to you that phrase there, be subject, is the same Greek concept and word for submit. It means to arrange under. Likewise, wives, Peter will say, be subject to your own husbands. Why? So that even if some do not obey the word, even if your husband is immature, even if he does not lead well, even if he is not honorable and respectful in the way that he leads the home, so that even if some do not obey the word, they, the husband, may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Wives, could it be that God intends to use you and that he is using you as a means of grace in your husband's life? Could it be that God might just use a faithful, patient, long-suffering, on her knees, interceding for her husband when he ought to be interceding for her patient wife who is obedient to the word of God, even when it's hard? Could it be that God might just use you to draw your husband to Jesus? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. If you ever doubt, wives and women, the influence that you have in this world, I would refer you to the story of Abigail and David in the Old Testament. When David is on the warpath about to make a horribly wrong and harmful decision that will impact him and his family and all the nation of Israel. And Abigail, who has no authority, no relationship toward David, persuades him in a kind and generous and patient way and sways a king and changes the trajectory of a kingdom. And she does it in this way that we see here in 1 Peter chapter 3. Lest you think you don't have influence, you're wrong. You do. You have tremendous sway. God calls you to use it in the right way. Scripture says it is a very real possibility that you are being used by God as a means of grace in your husband's life. And so out of obedience to Christ, you should joyfully fulfill the calling that God has given you. Which I suspect for some women and wives in this room will mean that it will be very difficult for you if you seek to find your joy only in your husband. You will need to ask God to train and remind your heart on a frequent basis that your truest joy is not found in your husband, but is found only in Christ. And you, at times, may need to look through your husband to Jesus and God the Father as you follow this model of submission and headship that's been put in place. And so, wives and women and sisters, your common temptation within the marriage relationship will be to ignore or to subvert or to step away from the structure that God has put in place, and to push aside the role of leadership that he has given to your husband. And I want to encourage you, don't do that. Fight to honor and to affirm and to follow your husbands even when we're knuckleheads. And know that in so doing, you are ultimately honoring your king. And I would say, just as an aside, but a necessary one, the only provision that I can conceive of for this call to submission within the home for a wife would be if following your husband causes you to sin against your ultimate authority, which is God. In that case, because God is the chief source of authority, we are most and always responsible to follow him. And so certainly, this biblical submission is not blind adherence that leads to harm or toward transgression, but rather it is to be an informed, free, glad-hearted obedience to the call of God. For the men, if the call of submission in this text is constant, then so too is the call to exercise humble headship. I do not believe, men, that there is ever a time that we ought to step away or opt out of the role that God has given us. And so just as women and wives need to be mindful of the unique struggle that is often theirs on their side of this equation, so too we need to be aware of how we often are tripped up and how we miss the boat. Namely, I would say that our temptation, according to the Word of God, is often to exercise leadership in a heavy-handed way, to be harsh and domineering in the role that God has given us. You see this everywhere, tragically, in our world today and throughout history, men abusing and mistreating and intimidating women because they are physically stronger at times and they can get their way through sheer brute force. Men, that is not leadership. That is not headship. That is cowardice. Cowardice that we will be held accountable for before the judgment seat of God, I believe. It is never, ever, ever permissible to abuse or mistreat or intimidate a woman or a child. Ever. This is why Scripture reminds us as men, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Take the time to think through what they are experiencing. Don't discount their perspective. Seek understanding, not just brute leadership. Husbands, love your wives. And because we're often tempted toward harshness, we are encouraged. And do not be harsh with them. See how dense we are? He says, love your wives. Unless you think that means being harsh, don't be harsh. And so for some men in the room today, you might have a wife who who does not respect your leadership. You might have a wife who does not affirm or support the role that you've been called to play. And I would say to you, brother, you are still called to love and lead your wife in a gentle, understanding, self-sacrificing way. Taking your cues from Jesus, who was willing to die for the church. And aren't you glad that Jesus always loves us well, even when we don't honor and affirm his leadership? So, wrap this up. Submission and headship, a huge biblical concept. Husbands are always called to love and to lead and to exercise sacrificial, courageous leadership. Not domineering, not heavy-handed, but tender-hearted. Wives are always called, unless it would lead to sin, they are always called to demonstrate respectful, honoring affirmation of the husband's leadership. Not undermining, not backbiting, but supportive and encouraging. Church, this is a hard truth. You will not find it in popular culture. You will not find this view supported by magazines in the checkout line at Albertsons or Safeways. You will not find some talking head on the television who will encourage this perspective. And so holding to this position of marriage will not come easy. It will not always feel good. But I firmly believe, and I hope you do as well, that this model is good because it has been designed and given by a good God. This is God's best possible plan for marriage. He didn't shortchange us. This isn't plan B from outer space. This is his best, and it is far better than any sinful plan that we as broken, confused, deceived human beings could ever come up with. God has said this in his word. May it be settled in our hearts. Brothers and sisters, how does this look in your life? How is it looking in your home? How did this relationship play itself out over the last week? Are you acknowledging and are you following this model? And for both husbands and wives, are you submitting to this model? We're all under authority, right? So there is a sort of mutual submission that takes place here. What needs to change? Some starting today. Who are you going to tell about that? Who will encourage you and keep you accountable? When are you going to take steps of action? Father, thank you that you speak hard words to us, that you don't push aside what we don't want to hear, but what we desperately need to know. And I pray that you would remind us today that marriage, in all of its beauty, but also all of its struggle, forces us to look to Christ and to the church. Help us to see that. And I pray for brothers and sisters in this place, for marriages in this room and represented in this church body, that you would strengthen them, that you would help us to rightly represent the Christ and church relationship. Father, I pray that if husbands and wives need to confess to one another and repent today in response to your word, that they would do so even as we sing this morning. Or if this is not the right setting, they do it later on today. I pray that if they have sinned against their children by not representing this relationship well, they would be humble enough to confess that sin in a family setting. I pray that if we are struggling in these areas, that we would seek out brothers and sisters to help us to grow. And Father, I ask if there are any here today who do not know you, who have not responded to the forgiveness and joy of Jesus Christ, if they have not surrendered to his authority in their lives, that they would do so today and be saved from their sin. Lord, help us to take a hard text and respond honestly. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.